Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Is a Latter-day Saint a sinner who keeps on trying? Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. The Mormon Church completed its 185th General Conference in April of 2015, and there were some interesting statements that were made in this General Conference that I would think many Latter-day Saints might find confusing, though at the same time, they might also find some of the statements to be a comfort to them because of their inability to live up to the high standard of Mormonism. But at the same time, I got the impression there were some conflicting messages going on. And one of them that really stood out was when I was listening to Dale Renlund. Dale Renlund is a member of the 70s, and he gave a talk called Latter-day Saints Keep on Trying.
He said, "My dear brothers and sisters, in December 2013, the world mourned the death of Nelson Mandela. After 27 years of imprisonment for his role in the anti-apartheid struggle, Mandela was the first democratically elected president of South Africa. His forgiveness of those who had imprisoned him was remarkable. He received widespread acclaim and praise. Mandela frequently deflected accolades by saying, quote, 'I'm no saint. That is, unless you think a saint is a sinner who keeps on trying,'" end quote. This statement, "a saint is a sinner who keeps on trying," should reassure and encourage members of the church. Although we are referred to as Latter-day Saints, we sometimes flinch at this reference. The term saints is commonly used to designate those who have achieved an elevated state of holiness or even perfection. And we know perfectly well that we are not perfect. Our theology does teach us, though, that we may be perfected by repeatedly and iteratively relying wholly upon the doctrine of Christ, exercising faith in Him, repenting, partaking of the sacrament to renew the covenants and blessings of baptism, and receiving the Holy Ghost as a constant companion to a greater degree. As we do so, we become more like Christ and are able to endure to the end with all that that entails. In less formal terms, God cares a lot more about who we are and who we are becoming than about who we once were. He cares that we keep on trying.
Now, how many times, Eric, when we've been talking with Latter-day Saints, when we ask them if they are, let's say, truly repentant, which means, of course, to confess their sins and abandon all the sins, and also, are they keeping all the commandments? What's the answer that we normally hear?
Well, one of the most common is that I'm doing my best or I'm trying.
I'm trying. And we respond that trying is merely a response from a person who has failed in doing the task that was at hand. A person who accomplishes the task does not usually say, "I'm trying to accomplish the task," when the task has been accomplished. There are certain things that Mormons have been told ever since the beginning of this movement that they must do if they hope to achieve celestial exaltation. Now, when I hear Dale Renlund tell this story about how a saint is a sinner who keeps on trying, and he says that this should reassure and encourage members of the church, when I heard him say that, I thought, wait a minute, anybody who is familiar with Spencer Kimball and his book, The Miracle of Forgiveness, would certainly not find reassurance in that thought. And what's amazing about this is that in the same general conference, another 70 got up and spoke by the name of Kevin W. Pearson. He gave a talk called Stand by the Tree, and this is what he said. "Enduring to the end is a hallmark of true discipleship and is essential to eternal life. But when trials and challenges come our way, we are often told to simply hang in there. Let me be clear," he said. "To hang in there is not a principle of the gospel. Enduring to the end means constantly coming unto Christ and being perfected in Him. If enduring to the end is essential to eternal life, Why do we struggle to be faithful? Pearson asked. We struggle when we are caught between competing priorities. Casual obedience and lukewarm commitment weaken faith. Enduring to the end requires total commitment to the Savior and to our covenants.
Now, which one of those two speakers do you think kept closer to the admonition made in 1 Nephi 3:7, which says, "For I know that the Lord giveth no commandments unto the children of men, save he shall prepare a way for them, that they may accomplish the thing which he commandeth them"?
I think clearly Kevin Pearson's talk, "Stand by the tree," would more appropriately will fall in line with that statement that you just read.
And that is pretty much the opinion of many of the old-time speakers, such as Spencer Kimball, as you mentioned, Bruce McConkie. We could give a whole list of names, Joseph Fielding Smith, all of them talking about the possibility of doing it, just like 1 Nephi 3:7 says.
Well, here's what caught my attention. Apostle Richard G. Scott spoke at this general conference. He's really getting up in age. Anyway, it was Richard G. Scott who back in October of 2004, in a general conference message, encouraged people to purchase a copy of The Miracle of Forgiveness. He said this, he said, "When needed, full repentance will require action on your part. If you are not familiar with the classic steps to repentance, such as confession and abandonment of sin, restitution, obedience, and seeking forgiveness, talk to a bishop or study a source such as President Spencer W. Kimball's masterly work, The Miracle of Forgiveness." I couldn't help but wonder if Richard G. Scott agreed with what Dale Renlund was saying. And the reason I ask that is because Kimball, in his book, talks very specifically about this aspect of trying. On page 164, there's a subheading that says, "Trying is not sufficient." And then he tells this story of an officer giving an order to a soldier.
He wrote, "An army officer called a soldier to him and ordered him to take a message to another officer. The soldier saluted and said, 'I'll try, sir, I'll try.' To this, the officer responded, 'I don't want you to try, I want you to deliver the message.' The soldier, somewhat embarrassed, now replied, 'I'll do the best I can, sir.' At this, the officer, now disgusted, rejoined with some vigor, 'I don't want you to try, and I don't want you to do the best you can. I want you to deliver this message.' Now the young soldier, straightening to his full height, approached the matter magnificently, as he thought, when he saluted again and said, 'I'll do it or die, sir.' To this, the now irate officer responded, 'I don't want you to die, and I don't want you to merely do the best you can, and I don't want you to try. Now the request is a reasonable one. The message is important. The distance is not far. You are able-bodied. You can do what I have ordered. Now get out of here and accomplish your mission.'"
Now, what do you think Kimball is basing that on? He's basing it on 1 Nephi 3:7. In other words, they believe that God is not going to give them a commandment that they are not capable of fulfilling. And when a person says, "I'm trying," it's an admission of failure. Kimball understands that. He recognizes this perfectly. But what does he go on to say right after that little parable?
He says, "It is normal for children to try. They fall and get up numerous times before they can be certain of their footing. But adults who have gone through these learning periods must determine what they will do, then proceed to do it. To try is weak. To do the best I can is not strong. We must always do better than we can. This is true in every walk of life." When we're out on the streets, Bill, and we talk to people about the miracle of forgiveness, my friend Randy Sweet, our associate, likes to tell people that Spencer Kimball was the first advocate of Nike's Do It campaign. Just do it. And that's what he was saying, because it's reasonable and you've been given the ability to do it. Be a grown-up and go do what you're supposed to do.
Well, if the Mormon is in fact trying their hardest to abandon sin, and you have Dale Renlund encouraging them in that, that's okay. That's kind of the impression I was getting. It's okay. At least you're giving it a shot. What do you do when Spencer Kimball, in that same section on page 164, under the subheading, "Trying is not sufficient," when he says, nor is repentance complete when one merely tries to abandon sin. He talks about this idea of renewing the covenants during the sacrament service. We go back. What is the covenant that they're renewing at the sacrament service? That they're going to keep all the commandments. They're promising in a sacred ceremony, the sacrament service, that they are going to keep the commandments. That is their covenant. That's what they say every time they partake of the sacrament. But yet they're not doing it. Kimball called those people covenant breakers. But then we look on page 166 of The Miracle of Forgiveness, and he says this, the Lord cannot save men in their sins, but only from their sins, and that only when they have shown true repentance. True repentance has been described by LDS leaders is the ability to confess your sins and to abandon those sins. And when you ask them, what sins must you abandon? They will always say, all of them.
And he was quoting from Alma chapter 11, verse 37, which talks about how you cannot be saved in your sins if you remain in them.
Yeah, no unclean thing can enter the kingdom of heaven, because that's an argument they use with us as Bible-believing Christians. They say that because we don't place emphasis for the forgiveness of sins on our personal performance or effort, that somehow we are still in our sins. They don't seem to grasp the concept that when we come to faith in Christ, believing that He paid the total debt for all of our sins, and when we come to faith believing that, His righteousness becomes our righteousness and all our sins are forgiven. I know why they have to try and calm the fears of their people, because you and I have both talked to Latter-day Saints that certainly do feel the burden of this guilt that the church has laid upon them. But I don't know if it really helps them if Kimball is telling the truth to say things like, it's okay, as long as you're trying, that's enough. Maybe this is going to start popping up more and more, but it seems like in order to draw that type of a conclusion, you have to contradict what the 12th president of the Mormon Church said on this subject.
And perhaps it's going to be sometime soon where they will no longer sell The Miracle of Forgiveness at Deseret bookstores.
It could possibly be. It may go the way of Mormon Doctrine by Bruce McConkie. Who knows?
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. How would you like to have Mormonism Research Ministry address your church on the subject of Mormonism? MRM's Bill McKeever and Eric Johnson have spoken at many Christian churches all over the country. You see, they can tailor their presentation to meet your church's needs. Anything from a one-day basic introduction to a weekend symposium. You'll find these PowerPoint presentations clear, articulate, and presented in a Christ-honoring fashion. So let your pastor know today that you'd like to have MRM speak at your church. Write us at contact@mrm.org. Answering Mormons Questions by Bill McKeever and Eric Johnson deals with 36 commonly asked questions by your LDS friends and neighbors. It's a great resource for Christians who want to share their faith with friends and loved ones. Be sure to pick up your copy today at your favorite Christian bookstore.